तदा राजस तमो भावा कामलोभादयश्च ये चेता एतायर अनाभिधम स्थितम सत्वे प्रसीदति. As soon as irrevocable devotional loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma-bhuta, or Atmanandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. In this beautiful verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of devotional service are being enunciated. Such devotional service alone can completely dissipate all of the anartas, or unwanted elements, within the heart. Krishna explains that there is no other means to completely free the heart of contamination other than bhakti, or devotional service. Some people, they aspire for mukti or liberation, but according to the highest realms of transcendental understanding, even that desire for liberation is considered a contamination. Even that desire to be freed from all the miseries of material existence is considered to be a selfish proposition. It is not the true and pure quality of the soul. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir rokshajay ahoite ki aprati hata yashatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation, the natural, eternal, constitutional position of every soul is to selflessly serve the Supreme Lord with no motivation whatsoever. Bhaktivinod Thakur prayed that, "My Lord, I am your servant, and you can do anything you like with me. If you like, you can kill me. Or if you like, you can protect me. I have no preference, because I am only meant for your satisfaction." This is the prayers of the great devotees of the Lord. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishvari bhavatad bhakti rahaiti kitvai. Devotees never seek their own satisfaction. They only seek service. I do not want wealth, nor beautiful ladies to associate with, nor even reputation, influence, and power. Even freedom from suffering, I have no inclination to aspire to attain, but only your loving service, my Lord, birth after birth after birth. Ashlisya va padartham panashtumam adarshanam maramahatam karotuva yatha tatha tha vidata tulam pato mat prananatas tu se evanapara. My Lord, I am coming to surrender at your lotus feet. And now you can do whatever you like to do with me. If you like, my Lord, you can embrace me. Or if you like, you can trample upon me. Or if you like, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You have any right to do anything you like, because I am your servant unconditionally. This alone is the pure quality of the soul. And this is the aspiration of every devotee, simply to be engaged in the loving service of the Lord, and to be engaged in the loving service of the servants of the Lord. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world, he especially came to establish the supreme position of loving devotion, the path of bhakti, over any other religious concept. When he was living in Navadvip Dham, each night he would have beautiful kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would dance so beautifully. The sight of his dancing was the most beautiful manifestation that has ever been presented within this cosmic creation. But he would only allow those who were pure in heart and completely surrendered to the path of pure devotion to take part in these wonderful kirtans. One time, a brahmachari, who was very faultless, very austere, very honest, he so much desired to receive the mercy of the Lord. This brahmachari, he would live in the jungles and in the forests. And for his sustenance, throughout practically his whole life, he only would drink little milk and take little fruit, and he would eat nothing else. He was absolutely celibate. He was performing such tapasya, such renunciation, very difficult to endure. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would personally close all the doors of Srivas's house so that nobody could come in unless they were completely surrendered to the path of bhakti. So this brahmachari was not given entrance. Every day he would come to Srivas and he would say, "Please, is there no way that I can come in to see the beautiful dancing and take part in the wonderful chanting of Lord Gauranga? Everyone is so blissfully engaged in the loving service of the Lord by loudly chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." Can I not come in to see? And Srivas, he explained, the Lord was very strict. But again and again, this brahmachari would humbly beg him. Srivas said that the Lord is very disturbed by anyone who is not pure in their devotion. But you only drink milk and eat fruits, and you're very honest and quite pure. So I will tell you what I can do. I could let you in, but you have to hide in a secret place so that the Lord does not see you. But you will be able to see him. So Srivas arranged for him a secret hiding place. And then the kirtan began, and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he began to dance very beautifully. And Gadadhar Pandit and Advaitacharya, they surrounded the Lord. Nityananda Prabhu was also dancing very jubilantly. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped the kirtan. He said, I am not able to experience the ecstasy of Krishna's love in this kirtan. There must be someone who is not a pure devotee in this room. And he inquired. And Srivas, who is very honest, he told the Lord that there is one brahmachari. He's a celibate his whole life. He's a great renunciate. He only drinks milk and eats fruit. And he was so anxious to see your beautiful dancing that I have hidden him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry. He began to chastise this man. He said, do you think that you can attain Krishna simply by drinking milk? Do you think any amount of renunciation has any value to Krishna? Do you think that because you are a Brahmin, that attracts Krishna in any way? Hanuman was a monkey. Gajendra was an elephant. If even an animal approaches the Lord with no desire but pure loving service, he can attain the supreme mercy of the Lord. You are not fit to be here. You get out. As the brahmachari was walking out, he was thinking, the Lord is so merciful. He has properly chastised me. By his chastisement, he is purifying me from this ego that I am a great renunciate. He is purifying me of all of my wretched material desires. He is so kind. But I am so fortunate that for a few moments, I was able to see his beautiful dancing and chanting. And in utter humility, this brahmachari left the house of Srivas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was within the heart of all living beings, could understand his mentality. That even after being severely chastised and insulted by the Lord, he was graciously and gratefully accepting it as being true for his own purification. So the Lord called him back in. And the brahmachari came and fell at the feet of Lord Gauranga. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his lotus feet atop this brahmachari's head. And he told him, because you have learned the principle of humility and devotion, beyond renunciation, knowledge, or anything else in this world, therefore today I grant you love of God. And all the devotees became jubilant and began to call out, Hariyo! 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 this humble state of mind by which we aspire only for service must be the goal of our lives. Nothing else. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirataniya sadahari. That one should be humble like a blade of grass. Even more humble than the straw in the street. More tolerant than tree. Ready to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. You see, simply to bear insult is the beginning of humility. But real humility is something positive, not neutral, not negative. But when a devotee endures tribulation or insult, he should be grateful. That is humility. That Krishna, you are so kind that you are giving me this loving purification. This is what it means to be more humble than a blade of grass. You see, when you step on a blade of grass, it does not complain. It does not claim some position. It's in the lowest position. And when you spit on it, or when you step on it, or when you do what so many people do on it, the blade of grass is in a neutral condition. Simply accepts it, does not complain. What does it mean to be more humble than a blade of grass? It means to positively be grateful and thank Krishna for this mercy. Krishna, you are so wonderful. You are doing this just to help me become your devotee, just to purify me of the multitudes of wretched sins in my heart. When Krishna, when we offer some prayer to Krishna, some prayer for success in our devotional service, and we fail, and everything goes wrong, do we thank Krishna? Yes, Krishna, I am so unqualified, I am so undeserving, and you are helping me to realize this by making my life a failure. The ruination that has come upon me is just to expose my fastidious nonsense state of heart. You are so kind. Please, Krishna, do whatever you like. That is real humility. And that is what is required to actually chant the holy name in quality. We should not complain. We should not be particular. We should be surrendered. A conditional devotee is particular. We expect something for what we do. But a sober and serious devotee simply expects service. What the result may be is whatever Krishna feels is best. A devotee has no position to protect, because a servant has no position at all. The master has position. Therefore, the master can do whatever he likes with us. And we're willing to gratefully accept. And the Supreme Lord, He is so kind that He will test us again and again. And when these tests come, He's giving us the opportunity to actually develop the most important virtues in our spiritual life. And when we fail the test, when we complain, when we blame someone else, when we think, Krishna, this is not fair, when we try to defend our position or our egos, what we have done is we have lost the opportunity that Krishna has given us. To imbibe the most precious of all qualities, humility. How learned we may be, what particular position in society, even in a spiritual society we may have, is irrelevant to Krishna. Naham vipro nacha naravatir napi vaisho nashudraho. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in the highest position. He was a Brahmin by birth. He was the grandson of Nilambara Chakravarti, who was one of the greatest and most learned and purest of all Brahmins. And he was also a sannyasi. Sannyasis are socially to be worshipped by all other classes of men and women. In fact, according to the Vedic tradition, if one does not bow down humbly before a sannyasi, when he first sees one, one is supposed to fast for the whole day. This is the tradition. So he was a Brahmin and a sannyasi. But it was not that he was expecting honor or distinction or service from others. We should know that this is a great danger, to have some spiritual position. If in that position you expect service from others, then you're fallen. You're simply meant to engage people in Krishna's service. And by that engagement, you become the servant. By engaging someone in Krishna's service, you become that person's servant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he went, he would simply induce people to chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. In this way, he was rendering the most valuable, precious service to all humanity. And in this way, he explained, Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas, that I claim no position except that I am aspiring to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Krishna, who is the Lord of the Gopis. But sometimes we want to criticize and judge others because our expectations from them are not fulfilled. Immediately, our service attitude is spoiled. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to demonstrate that one who gives up this service attitude to criticize any Vaishnava devotee of the Lord, his spiritual progress or her spiritual progress is stopped. And how to illustrate this point? He did it with his own mother. You know the story. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the house of Srivas. One day he decided to give blessings to fulfill the desires of all of his devotees. He sat on the throne of Vishnu, because after all, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. And all the devotees were praying. Not praying simply for anything selfish, but they were praying simply to be unalloyed servants of the Lord. And sometimes they were praying for the spiritual welfare of others. Someone would say, my father, he is antagonistic toward me being a devotee, and he is a great materialist. Please award him devotional service. These were the types of prayers being offered by the devotees. And then Srivas, he said, this is my prayer. Please give your mother, Sachi Devi, love of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, impossible. She cannot attain love of Krishna, because she has committed a great offense to a Vaishnav. One who offends Vaishnavas can never gain Krishna. Srivas was saying, why you are saying like this? She's your mother. You have come from her very womb. And she's like the universal mother, so kind and loving to all living beings. What offense could she have possibly have made? He said, she has made an offense to Advaita Acharya. And until she takes the dust from the feet of Advaita Acharya with great humility and devotion, she cannot be relieved of that offense, and she can never attain Krishna consciousness. What was the offense that she committed? This has been explained that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his elder brother, Vishwarup, he was an expansion of Lord Nityananda, Balaramji, and he had such natural desire for Krishna always. And he was a very good scholar as well. But he was always anxious to hear the glories of the Lord and chant the holy names. So in his pursuit of learning, he was traveling throughout Navadvip, going to various schools, various academies and institutions. And he would hear so many great, great scholars speaking, but nowhere did he hear the glories of Lord Krishna, and nowhere did he hear the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So he was simply just bored with all of this. It was all Maya. Any amount of learning without humble devotion is nothing but Maya. So then he came across Sri Advaita Acharya, who at Advaita Bhavan, his home, he would daily, amongst other Vaishnavas, recite the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. And he would always be immersed with the other devotees in beautiful kirtan, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So Vishwarup would spend all day at Advaita Acharya's house. He had no interest in anything or anyone else except being with the devotees. He understood that association of devotees is the all in all in one's life. Of course, today we see people have so many other priorities, so many social commitments, so many economic necessities. But actually, there's only one necessity, and that is to be in the association of devotees, hearing the glories of the Lord, and chanting his holy name.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Unless we have that, our whole life is maya, illusion. But if we have sufficient satsang with sadhus, then our whole life becomes embellished with devotion, with Krishna consciousness. So Vishwarup, he would give such joy to Advaitacharya and his associates because he had such love and feelings and he was so learned that when he would speak the glories of Lord Krishna, tears would flow from the devotees' eyes. And they never wanted to give up Vishwarup's association, nor did Vishwarup ever want to give up their association. But every day, Sachi Devi, the mother of Vishwarup, would prepare prasad for him. And she would send little Nimai Vishwambhar, who was just a small little child, that you go to Advaita Acharya's house and you bring Vishwarup back for prasad. And he would come and he would hold on to Vishwarup's dhoti and pull it and say, "Brother, Mataji is calling us for prasad." And when Advaita Acharya and all the other devotees, Mukunda, Gadadhar, when they would see the beauty of this little Nimai, they would be so struck with wonder. They couldn't blink their eyes. They couldn't even talk about Krishna anymore. They were just struck with wonder. And Advaitacharya, in his heart of hearts, he would start thinking that such attraction and such love never awakens in my heart except for Krishna himself. Perhaps this is Krishna. Who is this child? And all the devotees would be thinking like this. And Vishwambhar, being the super soul within their hearts, knowing what they were thinking, he would just take his brother by the hand and they would run home for prasad. Right after eating prasad, Vishwarup would do some puja in the temple room and he would go to the house of Advaitacharya. He was completely uninterested in anything except sadhu satsang, Krishna Katha and Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra became very worried that he's not at all interested in anything of this world. The solution is we should find a nice wife for him. Krishna, I'm sorry. It's not intentional.
I have cough.
So, when Vishwarup heard they're looking wife, he secretly, without saying anything to anyone, he left home, he took sannyas, and he became initiated as Shankararanya Maharaj. Hari Om! Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, they were feeling so intense pain in their broken hearts. They were weeping, suffering profusely. For days and days and days, they could practically not speak or eat or sleep. They were just crying, constantly thinking of the beautiful qualities of Vishwarup. And after some days, when the pangs began to subside slightly, so it was just at the level of intense agony, Sachi Mata thought within her mind that
it is this Advaitacharya. Because my Vishwarup was at his house, having Krishna Katha and Hari Kirtan, because of this Advaita Acharya's influence, my child has become completely disinterested in all material things, and he has left this world to take sannyas. But she understood that if she speaks anything like this against the great Vaishnav, then her life will be spoiled. So she said nothing. She kept those thoughts within her mind.
Soon after this, Jagannath Mishra, he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw his son, his youngest son, Nimai, in the robes of a sannyasi, with a shaved head, with his arms raised, chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And there were hundreds, thousands, millions of people all gathered around him with their arms raised, very, very loudly chanting.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Although it was the most beautiful sight to behold, it was the most horrible sight for him to have to experience. And the next morning, he was in anguish, weeping, crying out, Nimai, Nimai. And Sachi Devi asked, what happened? What's wrong with you? And he explained that this is the vision that I saw. I feel that very soon Nimai will also leave us and take sannyas. It will be unbearable for us to live without his presence. Sachi Devi said, no, no, it is only a dream. You should not take it so seriously. Nimai will never leave us. He has given his word that he will always be with us. Shortly after this, Jagannath Mishra, so preoccupied with the thought of this dream and the fear of losing his son, he could not eat, he could not sleep, and he left this world and went back home, back to Godhead. Adio! Completely immersed in loving thoughts for his son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Sachi Devi asked Nimai, please, after some time, please you get married. Nimai said, yes, whatever suits you, my mother. So he married with Lakshmi Priya, the daughter of Balabhacharya, who was none other than the Supreme Goddess of Fortune herself. And he was behaving as a most loyal, obedient son, and a most respectable and caring and loving husband. But after some time, after he went to Gaya, he became very much immersed in spreading the glories of the holy name. In fact, he would spend so much time with Advaita Acharya and the other devotees, and he was so busy just preaching the message of Krishna and hearing the message of Krishna and being with the devotees in the beautiful kirtan of the chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram,
that he was hardly ever at home anymore. And Sachi Mata, she was witnessing this. That now he's spending so much time with Advaita Acharya, now he's hardly with us, with his wife or with his mother. This Advaita, he's doing it again. She was thinking like this. By his influence, my first son has left me, and now by his influence, my second son is losing all interest in material affairs. And she became so uncontrollably fearful of her son's association with Advaita that through her mouth she just could not contain herself. She cried out that your name is Advaita, which means non-dual, but you are Dvaita. Your name should be Dvaita, which means you are full of duplicity. And she accused him of taking her child away due to his duplicitous nature. Although she was perfectly innocent and pure in her loving affection, still, she criticized a Vaishnav. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sachi Devi, yet you cannot attain Krishna consciousness until you get the dust from the feet of Advaita Acharya upon your head. So they called Advaita, and the devotees explained to Sri Advaita Acharya the situation. That please give Sachi Mata the dust of your feet on your head, so that she can attain love of Krishna. And Advaita Acharya said, this is impossible. How can you ask such a thing of me? This is crazy. She is the supreme universal mother. She's none other than Yashoda Devi, Devaki. She's none other than Ganga Devi. She's the mine of all virtues. She is the supreme most devotee of my Lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he began to praise the glories of Sachi Mata. And as he was praising those glories, he became so intoxicated with love of God that he fell unconscious on the ground. And as soon as he fell unconscious on the ground, Sachi Mata, who was in an inner chamber of the house, she immediately came out very quickly and she placed her head on his lotus feet. Hariyo! And Lord Chaitanya, who was there witnessing this whole wonderful pastime, he became very pleased. He said, Sachi Devi, because today you with honest and sincere humility have worshipped the feet of this great Vaishnava Advaita, now you are being given Krishna Prema. And all of the devotees became very happy and began to cry out, Hariyo! Haribo. So in this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that it is this humble and sincere devotion that is the be-all, the end-all of the lives of those who are truly seeking shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Thinking that this is just some formality or some ritual or some external action. The Lord does not see what you do, but he sees how you do it. Sometimes here in India, people with any motivation in mind, they just want to touch the deity's feet or touch some sadhu's feet, put it on their heads. There is no value to that.
unless it is genuinely done in a mood of service and humility. Then that act can completely purify our entire existence. It is not a ritual. Taking the dust from the feet of a great Vaishnava devotee of the Lord means subordinating yourself to be the servant of that soul. That I am willing to do whatever you ask me. I am your servant. I have no position in this world other than to be the servant of the servant of such a great soul. If you take the dust of the feet of such a soul in that consciousness, that dust will purify your heart and your mind, and that dust will be the most precious, priceless gift which will award love of Krishna into your life. Don't think the dust from the feet of Krishna or his devotees is so cheap. It is this consciousness which purchases the true quality of that substance.
Narottam Das Thakur has prayed that the dust from the feet of the Goswamis is my food.
It is the only food that truly nourishes my life. What is our life? Our life doesn't mean this physical body. The life of a devotee is his desire to serve. That is our life. Whatever desire we have to serve, to extent we have that, we have life. And from a spiritual point of view, whatever selfish desires we have, whatever desires for enjoyment we have, it is like death.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that it is in this state of consciousness, with this aspiration of always being the servant of the lotus feet of the great souls that we can actually chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. We should not expect anything for ourselves, but we should always be anxious to give of ourselves. What is that story? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a young student, one day he was in a boat crossing the river Ganges, and he was with one of his friends, and his young friend had just written a book about Sanskrit grammar and logic, and he worked very hard to write this book, and he wanted to show this book to Nimai, Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya had just written also a book on grammar and logic. As far as we know, it's the only book he ever wrote in his whole life. He gave so many instructions to Rupa and Sanatan, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. There are so many recorded dialogues between the Lord and his devotees. But all that we have right now that he has written is the 8 verses of Shikshastakam. But previous to this, Shikshastakam was written during his most intimate and ecstatic period of life when he was living in Jagannath Puri. But he wrote an entire book on grammar and logic. The only book he ever wrote. But he saw that his friend had written a book on the same subject. And when his friend found out that Nimai, who's the greatest scholar, has written a similar book, he was feeling a little sad, thinking, who's going to read my book if Nimai's written this book? He didn't say anything. But Nimai could see that, oh, my friend is feeling bad, that his book will be worthless because of the book I have written. So he took that book right in front of his friend and he threw it in the river Ganges. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! The only book he ever wrote, he threw in the river Ganges. Why? Because he didn't care anything for any other principle than pleasing and serving his devotees. He wanted his devotee to be famous. He wanted his devotee to find pleasure. And he was willing to sacrifice all of the work that he had done if that's what would satisfy his devotee. This is the principle of humility we must strive for. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established these principles to teach us. They're not just beautiful stories to enjoy. They are lessons to learn. We want to be enjoyed by the Lord. We want to be enjoyed by his devotees. And to the degree you want to enjoy, you will suffer. Especially if you're a little sincere. If you've approached Krishna and said, Krishna, I want to surrender to you, then you made a big mistake if you want to enjoy this material world. Because at the point you say, Krishna, I am yours, at that point there's no turning back. Krishna has accepted you. Hariyo! And if you change your mind and think, Krishna, maybe I'm yours, but this is mine. And this is also mine. And that's also mine. And everything else I can find should also be mine. I want good health, Krishna, and I want nice respect from others, and I want adoration from others, and I want to be recognized, and I want power, influence, so many things. What do you think Krishna will do? He will make you miserable. That's what he will do. You'll suffer. A devotee suffers to the degree that that devotee has attachments to enjoy material life. And there's no more miserable species on earth than a devotee who's trying to forget Krishna and enjoy material life. Huh? Nothing more miserable. You have seen, here is the ocean. They pull the fish in and the nets and they're all flapping in pain. You see the beggars in the street, how they're suffering so terribly. But not as bad as a devotee trying to enjoy material life. That's Krishna's kindness. You've given me your life, now you want to take it back? My mercy is... You will be frustrated.
But that frustration is glorious because it is bringing us back to our constitutional position. But why should we needlessly suffer like this? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught by this beautiful example of throwing his only book in the river Ganges that we are simply meant for the enjoyment of the devotees. We are simply meant for the service of the devotees. And we will pay any cost to please the devotees. We will accept any sacrifice to please the devotees. We will endure any hardship or tribulation to please the devotees. We'll give up even what's most dear to our lives if it pleases the devotees. And what do we get in return? We should only expect one thing. More service. After enduring such hardship for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees, what should we expect in return? The opportunity to give more and more and more for the rest of eternity. That is Krishna consciousness. That is love. That is the price of Krishna. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan jasyasmi tatvata. And it is only by this type of unalloyed devotion that Krishna can be understood as he is. That is the payment. And Krishna will not accept any counterfeit payment of any other sort. But it is so frustrating because in our hearts this seems so terribly far away. There are so many lusty desires and so many envious desires and so much greed and too much pride. But how can we ever approach? We expect so much. But Krishna's grace is very powerful. As is explained here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tadara jastano bhava kamalobadayaschete chetar atar, that simply by rendering devotional service, by simply aspiring with this goal in mind, with enthusiasm, and with patience, simply serving the Lord and his devotees, chanting the holy names, praying for this humility, Krishna, by his causeless grace, reveals this most precious treasure from within. So let us always aspire. Let us always aspire to put aside our own conditioned desires to associate with Krishna's devotees, to serve them, and to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. This is actually all Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. So simple. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabu Nahe Sravanari Suri Chaiti Koriya Yudhoi. The love of God is within the heart of all living beings. Just associate with his devotees. Make the order of your guru your life and chant the holy names. That is all that is required. Love of God will be awakened within your heart. that Brahmachari, he practiced so much severe austerities his whole life. He was celibate, he was fasting. But until he was grateful and humble to receive the chastisement of the Lord, he was not given entrance into love of God. Sachi Mata, although she was the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, until she humbled herself with great sincerity to take the dust from the feet of the Vaishnava on her head, she was not given that Krishna prema. So let us aspire for this. And let us unite on this principle of being the servant of the servant. And blissfully chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? She's asking, how can we find out what offenses we have committed? When Madhai became a devotee, he fell at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu and begged his forgiveness. But he was still feeling too much pain and sorrow in his heart. And he approached Lord Nityananda on another occasion and he said, I have begged your forgiveness and you have forgiven me. But I have committed offenses to countless living beings. I was always in such an intoxicated state. I don't even know who I offended. How can I get forgiveness from all of them? Is this your condition? Actually, you are saying like this because you're a humble devotee. It's certainly my petition. Nityananda Prabhu told him that you have to please Krishna. And the way you can do this is, he told him, with your own hands, you take the humble position of building a ghat. With a little shovel, you dig in the ground and you make steps to the river Ganges. And every devotee that comes, everyone that comes, you bow down at his lotus feet. You take the dust from his feet and with a sincere heart you beg them, please forgive me for any offenses I may knowingly or unknowingly have ever committed to you. And he did like this. So, we, in this age of Kali, we are prone to commit offenses. First of all, we must be extremely aware and careful not to commit any other offenses. Offenses that we knowingly have committed, we should beg forgiveness sincerely and serve that devotee we have offended. And for those which we do not know we may have done, we should simply try to be a humble, encouraging servant of all Vaishnavas. And this will please Krishna. And chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Hare Bo. Any other questions?
We know from the Bhagavad Gita that a realized devotee doesn't hanker or lament. However, in order to become sorry for mistakes, it seems like there's a certain amount of lamentation.
Yes, that's too much.
So what is...
Also, devotees are always hankering for service and for Krishna. The gopis were hankering more than anyone.
were they not? And when he left, they were lamenting more than anyone. Brahmabhuta prasannatma nasochati nakankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Krishna says one who attains the Brahmabhuta state, the liberated state, hankers for nothing and laments for nothing. And when you come to that state, Krishna says, then you can enter into bhakti. Then you start hankering and lamenting like anything. But you've already transcended hankering and lamenting for your own sense gratification. Now you're simply hankering and lamenting for Krishna. Does that answer your question? We should not hanker and or lament for anything for our own personal selfish sense gratification. But we should lament. We should lament for any offense against any Vaishnava. And we should always be hankering for the service of such Vaishnavas.
Should we lament that we've wasted time or that we've not been as sincere as we should have been?
We have just sung the beautiful song of Narottam Das Thakur. Manushya janama paya Radha Krishna na bhajiya Janiya shuniya visha hainu. What is the translation of that beautiful verse? My life, O Lord Hari, I have simply spoiled. Although I have taken this rare human birth, like a miser, I have not served my Lord. I have no love for you, Radha and Krishna. And so quite purposefully, I have drunk poison. This is the way the greatest acharyas are praying to the Lord. They are lamenting. But they are lamenting that they are not loving Krishna, that they are not giving their complete hearts to Krishna. That is their lamentation. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would weep and cry and say, I have no love for Krishna. Because if I had one drop of love for Krishna, I would be dead. How could I, if I loved him, how could I survive without seeing him? The fact that I'm still breathing means I have no love for him. This is transcendental consciousness. Haridas Thakur, he was always praying that I am the most wretched, the most untouchable, the most sinful. But you, Lord, are still so kind upon me to allow me to chant your holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And because he was thinking like this, he could chant so purely. So devotees should always be lamenting in this way and always hankering in this way. Jaya Nilo Premadana Acharya Thakur. Narottam also was lamenting when he didn't have the association of devotees. And he was always hankering for the association of devotees. In fact, Ramananda Rai, when he was asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about suffering, he said, to be without the association of devotees is the only suffering in the whole creation. So we are so fortunate tonight that so many wonderful devotees are with us. Are we grateful to Krishna? Of course, because I'm taking so long, you're probably hankering for prasad. And lamenting that I'm talking too much.
But to be in the association of devotees, and in that association, to chant the holy names, to dance, to hear Krishna Katha, to take prasad, that is the most precious gift in all of the world. It is the most intimate expression of Krishna's love that he gives us this opportunity. And if we are grateful, we will make great spiritual advancement. So we should hanker for these opportunities to be with the devotees, chanting, dancing, and feasting. And we should lament when we don't have such opportunities. If we have to stay home when there's a nice satsang, we should weep, we should cry, we should lament. And we should be hankering for any opportunity. So let us celebrate this great occasion. I'd like to give our humble obeisances to Nathji Prabhu, Maitali Priya Mataji, Keshav, Chaitanya Chandra, Brinda Priya, for making this wonderful arrangements tonight so that we could all come together to chant the holy names of Krishna. Everyone, please stand up.